Good morning, everybody. That was enthusiastic. Thank you. I think the good morninging part of myself is frozen off. I think that's probably what's happened. How about the rest of you? No? Somebody was pointing out that this is winter the way it's supposed to be. The old-timers in the room know exactly what I'm talking about. Winter was always like this until the last 20, 30 years. So it is what it is, and we are learning, and that's kind of the subject of today. We are learning endurance. We're learning fortitude. We're learning to battle our way through. I'd like to read to you another passage from Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is a little later. In the reading, I'm only going to verse 17. If you want to talk about rules for Christian households, which starts at 18, we can do that some other time. One of those famous biblical passages that people get freaked out about because they think it means something it doesn't really mean, or they misunderstand the context in which it's given, or they worry about what everybody else is supposed to be doing and not taking care of what they're supposed to be doing. And so there you go. But I'm not going to get to that, just in case you're... Now everybody's opening their Bible and figuring out what's starting at 18. Which, by the way, for me means mission accomplished. If I got you to open the book and read some and try and figure it out, it's a good day. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Listen for God's word. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. What I want you to see really quick is that's something we choose to do. There's the intentional putting on of those characteristics. There's the intentional getting dressed up in our Jesus suit and going out to face the day, putting on those things. Bear with one another. Now I think I'm meddling. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and choral anthems, I added that, to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add his blessing to this reading from Colossians. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. This is part four of a nine-part series to start the year. The fruit of the Spirit you'll find in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and today's subject. Wait for it. Let's pray. Lord God, for your grace this day and for your love in our lives, we are so thankful. And we pray that as we consider today's fruit, that we would see how this is formed and shaped in us by your great love and your great mercy. In this we pray. Amen. What we've learned so far is that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is born of connection with God. That it's not something we really directly work at. It's something that's formed and shaped in us because we are connected with God, because we are trying to walk in the Spirit. As I read my Bible, one of the things I discover is that God's goal in sending Jesus, God's goal in this journey of faith, is not to turn us into nice people. Now, being nice would be a good thing. Not just to turn us into average people, not just to turn us into folks who do right most of the time. Rather, the goal of Christ's coming is that we would be formed and shaped into sons and daughters of God. That we would be formed and shaped into the image and likeness of Christ. And that's a process, isn't it? That's not something that's just going to wake up one day and bang, all of a sudden, hey, look, I'm just like Jesus. And if you think that, by the way, see me after. We'll see if we can get that corrected very quickly. and that the characteristics of being formed and shaped is what we are calling the fruit of the Spirit. Love, we're good with that, right? Everybody's good with love. We like love. Love is good. Joy. Joy is a good thing. Smile at me. Good. Joy is a good thing. Peace. I mean, who doesn't want inner peace or world peace, if you're Miss America, as we said last week? Who doesn't want those things? And today, patience. And the whole room went, yuck. Why can't we talk about something fun? You know, the old joke is Lord, give me patience and hurry. One of the struggles with patience is we live in a 24/7 instant gratification, gotta have it yesterday kind of world. I mean, you can have anything delivered next day, overnight. You can pretty much get whatever you want delivered right to your door. And when it doesn't work the way you want it to work, you get upset about it. Come on. You do. I know you do, because I'm a fairly normal human being. I know I do. That when things don't go, when somebody for the 100th time stops at the yield sign out here, you know. Remember Sniglets? The guy used to make up Sniglets. There was one called the Honko Second. And the Honko Second is the duration of time between the changing of the light to green and the sound of the first horn. That's a not exactly an example of patience, but there is the Honko Second. Or you're in line at Wegmans, and you're watching carefully, because you do this. I know you do this, because I do this. You're watching carefully, and the line next to you is moving faster. And so what do? Right, you switch lines, and then what happens? It comes to a screeching halt immediately. And sometimes I think that's sort of God's way of saying, relax. It's only going to be a few more minutes. You'll be all right. I'm pretty sure, by the way, that really isn't patience as we're describing it in the fruit of the Spirit. I think that's more like sort of my selfish, self-centered person. You know, it's really born of my own selfish self-centeredness, this sort of infringement on the kingdom of me. I mean, I'm me, and everything's got to go the way me wants it to go. Maybe you don't have that problem. I'll bet there's a part of you that does. Yeah, Tom, yeah, maybe a little bit here and there. Waiting is a good thing. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to talk about something much deeper than just, you know, being toe-tapping, standing there waiting and trying to figure out how to be patient. If you pull out a King James Bible, not something I generally recommend, but there are times when it's really helpful, and you look up this word in the King James Bible, it isn't patience. The word is actually, it's translated into two words, and those words are long suffering. Two things we don't really like. Long, things that take a long time, like sermons, and suffering, which you may have to suffer through anyway. If you go and look at the Greek that's translated here, the Greek isn't so much patience as in, you know, toe-tapping, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for something. The Greek is probably better translated into some of these words: fortitude, endurance, forbearance. That is, fruit of the Spirit, that which is born in us, is the ability to marshal on. We develop the ability to fight through those things that would drag us back. We develop within us the ability to stand strong, even though everything around us may be falling apart. It's more like learning to gut it out. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and learning to gut it out. Just too many words to put in the Bible, but that's really what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and hanging tough in difficult situations, learning to stay the course. When I was growing up, the person that was usually identified with the most patient person in history was a Bible character by the name of Job. You've heard of Job. In fact, my grandmother had a favorite expression when somebody was really good at waiting for things. She would say, so-and-so has Exactly right. They have the patience of Job. And most of the time we use that expression, and we've never actually read Job's story. Really do that. The book of Job. Job is not patient in this sense. He's not just waiting. He's enduring. And his story is just a story where Job loses everything. He loses his house. He loses his children. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. And at the start of the conversation, there's poor Job sitting on a pile of ashes, covered with boils. You got to love this picture, right? And he's got a piece of old broken pottery that he's scraping his boils with. I mean, it's a really pretty picture, isn't it? And then his wife comes by to encourage him. Some of you know this story. I hear you laughing. Yes. Job's wife comes by and she says, "Well, Job, you might as well just curse God and die." Any of you have spouses that would say something like that to you? Again, see me after. We may have some things we can work on. His friends come by. There's three of them. They come by and they spend, 20 chapters of Job trying to convince Job that obviously he's done something terribly, dreadfully wrong to have God punish him like this. As if God sends boils and kills our children because we've done something bad, right? But that's what they believe. You see, they believe that bad things don't happen to good people, and if you're good enough, then bad things won't happen to you. And Job, throughout, and the reason he gets credit for being patient, he's arguing with his friends that I need to have an audience with God so that I can make my case. And my case is this: God, I didn't do anything different. I don't deserve this. Work it out with me. Answer my question, right? Do you have a list of questions you're going to ask God when you see God? You know, like, why was I born in Western New York? You know, some of those deeply, profoundly spiritual questions. I have a short list of things. Why do good things happen to bad people? That's on my list. And a few others. Well, Job insists, but if you read the rest of the story, you find out he actually gets his audience with God. It doesn't quite go the way he wants it to go, but he does get his audience with God, and it eventually all works out in the end. The thing I want you to see is that Job is not just waiting. He's learning to endure. He's developing within himself fortitude, characteristics that are really important. And that's really important for us to learn, because patience is not a gift that God gives. In fact, many of the fruit of the Spirit, as we're looking at it, are not gifts that are given to us. They are formed and shaped within us. This journey of faith is a lifelong process, and certain characteristics are formed and shaped within us on this journey. As I've said to a friend of mine, God never gives patience. God teaches patience. When I go and pray for patience, God puts me in situations where I get to practice. Yeah, that's my response too. Ouch. When I pray for God that I could have more love, God puts me in situations where I'm required to be loving. Situations where I am required to learn to be joyful, though it may not feel that way. Situations where I'm required to be a peacemaker, though all is chaos around me. That's how the fruit of the Spirit is formed and shaped in us, by staying in contact, staying connected with God, and growing in those situations. That's what God has for us. You are formed and shaped in life's crucible. One of my teachers that I respect the most once said that God really isn't interested in your comfort. I don't know where we got that idea. That what God is interested in is your character. And life struggles and difficulties and frustrations are what form and shape character in us. The character of patience, of fortitude, of forbearance, of those particular things are formed and shaped in us, not in the smooth and easy times, but in the struggles and in the difficult times. And in those times when we think we can't hang on any longer, but we've figured out and we've learned and we've made the effort to hang on just a little more. That's patience in the biblical sense. You all right out there? Smile and nod at me. Okay, I know we got a lot of guests here, and they are having a great time. Much more fun than the rest of you, by the way. We learn it from the long view. It's not a quick fix. These things don't change in us right away. Now, some of the harder edges can get knocked off really quick, but this takes time. It's formed and shaped through daily prayer, through studying the scriptures, through practicing worship, through learning to give our lives away in mission and ministry. It's formed and shaped in us in those ways. That's endurance. It's formed and shaped in us when we think of examples of those who've gone before us and have learned forbearance, have learned to endure. People like Martin Luther King Jr., who we celebrated last weekend, who had to endure a great deal to see what was coming. People like Nelson Mandela, who died recently, who had to endure many, many, many years in prison before he saw the fruit of his work. People like William Wilberforce, that's a name you don't hear much anymore. Wilberforce was the driving influence in eradicating the slave trade in Great Britain in the early 1820s. A process that took his entire life to see through. Do you hear that? It wasn't fixed in a day and he didn't quit. It wasn't fixed in a year and it didn't quit. It wasn't fixed in 30 years. But he endured. He had forbearance. He developed fortitude. He was patient and kept working at what he had. People like my friend Bonnie, who set her a significant portion of her life aside and sold her house so she could move in with her mom because mom was getting sick so she could care for her mother. Right? I think that's patient endurance in the most brilliant sense of the word. Now, obviously not everybody can do that and everybody has the capability of doing that. But when we make that choice to set our stuff aside and to battle our way through, that's patience as the scriptures talk about it. If it's all just about me and mine and my self-centered whatevers, we're never going to get there. So, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, hanging tough, aka patience. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about kindness. And the question I have this week, as you go through your week, you might think about this. Why do acts of kindness have to be random? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, for your grace this day and for all you do, we thank you. Lord, give us the grace to see that you are forming and shaping in us, helping us become the kind of people you've called us to be through the difficult experiences of life. Give us the strength, Lord, the fortitude to battle through and to hang on and to hang tough. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.